Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, June 28th, 2022, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceed from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, we will be continuing our study at verse 14. Excuse me. 2 Corinthians 2:14. In preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you've graced us out with one more day of freedom in Client Nation USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, first things first, today is Timotheus' birthday. And Timotheus means honor to God, reverence to God. So you have a great name, Timotheus. And this picture, that's a self-portrait. Nice smile, though. He has a great smile, again. Second Corinthians 2 and verses 12 and 13, we saw the Apostle Paul's failure at Troas. In verses 12 and 13 it says, "Now, when I came to Troas for the purpose of proclaiming the gospel, the good news about Christ, and when a door of opportunity was opened for me by the Lord," verse 13, "I had no rest in my spirit, no peace of mind, mental attitude, sin of worry, because I did not find my brother, Titus. In fact, I forsook them," the congregation at Troas, "and I set out for Macedonia." The Apostle Paul's not the only one that has succumbed to the sin of worry. Almost every believer at some point in time has succumbed to worry. Worry is a mental attitude sin in which there is torment of soul or anxiety regarding something in life. It is a disquieting and painful state of mind involving undue concern over something or anything. Worry always anticipates the worst, and so becomes anticipation or apprehension of danger, misfortune, trouble or uncertainty. Worry is a state of restlessness and agitation producing mental disturbance, uneasiness, foreboding, anxiety. Worry is a destroyer of the soul. If unchecked, it can result in mental illness. Your first warning is often a physical problem. Worry in the mind causes shock to the body, Proverbs 12:25. An anxious heart weighs a man down. Bad news causes worry, Jeremiah 49:23. Worry causes undue anxiety, Luke 10:38-41. And everyone has an area in which they are prone to worry. People cause worry, 1 Samuel 10:1-2. People are always worried about other people. Worriers have to have an object. And you can always find an object if you really want to worry. Economic disaster is a cause of worry. Jeremiah 42:13-18. Worry leads to reversionism and even to the sin unto death. Ezekiel 4:15-17. Ezekiel 12:17-20. Sin causes worry. Psalm 38:18. I am troubled by my sin. People worry about sin, which causes guilt. Worry is a sin, and we are commanded to stop worrying. Luke 12:22-31. Worry characterizes reversionism. Isaiah 57:11. Whom have you so worried about and feared that you have been false to me and have neither remembered me, the living and true God? Worry is not a problem-solving device. Worry never solves any problems in your life. Worry distracts from doctrinal teaching, Matthew 13:1-9, Matthew 13:18-23. And therefore, blessing from God includes freedom from worry, Jeremiah 17:7-8. We are commanded throughout the scriptures to stop worrying about anything. That's Philippians 4:6-7. Stop worrying about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, after thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is also taught in Psalm 55:22, Isaiah 26:3-4, 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all your worries and anxieties upon Him, because He cares for you. Well, that was verses 12 and 13. Now, between verses 13 and verse 14, the Apostle Paul is rebounded. He's back in fellowship with God. And Paul followed his own advice in 1 Corinthians 11:31. But if we would judge ourselves, rebound, we would not come under judgment, divine discipline. Paul is restored to the filling of the Spirit and his spiritual life. So now in verse 14, he is celebrating the victory of God's grace. Verse 14, now thanks be unto God. This is kind of like the fellow that was in my prayer group. First time he'd ever been there. Father, thank you for Rebound. This is basically what we have here with the Apostle Paul. Now thanks be unto God. This is the post-positive conjunction de plus the nominative singular of charis plus the dative singular of theos with the definite article. The post-positive conjunction de is a conjunction of contrast. De looks like this in the Greek, de, conjunction of contrast, correctly translated, but. Now, it sets up a contrast between, one, Paul's failure, verses 12 and 13, with Paul's spiritual recovery. Secondly, it sets up a contrast between Paul out of fellowship with God. He's out of the geographical will of God, out of the operational will of God. Paul out of fellowship with God with Paul in fellowship with God. Third, it sets up a contrast between Paul in the cosmic system, that's where you go every time you sin, with Paul living the spiritual life. Fourth, it sets up a contrast between Paul grieving the Holy Spirit with Paul filled with the Holy Spirit. But, thanks. Now the word thanks is charis. C-H-A-R-I-S. Now we've been noting in our Thursday night class that the Apostle John had some favorite words, meno and agape. And the Apostle Paul also has a favorite word in his letters, and that is charis. And charis is the word for grace. So a couple of things. One, charis is the Greek word grace. You have now thanks be unto God, but the word here is charis, grace. Whenever you've been out of fellowship and really blown it, you failed miserably, God opens doors for you, God has a will for your life and a geographical will, and you leave that, operational will, you leave that, and you get into divine discipline from the Lord, and then you recover. Well, there's something that is first and foremost in your soul, and that is the grace of God. So he has here charis, the word for grace, too. Charis emphasizes the plan of God and the policy of God. This is how God operates toward all of us. He is a God of grace. His plan is grace. His policy is grace. Three, salvation is by grace because of who and what God is, not who and what we are. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace you are saved through faith, and this salvation is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation is by grace. Salvation emphasizes who and what God is, emphasizes the grace of God, not who and what we are. Fourth, rebound, restoration to fellowship with God is by grace. It all depends on who and what God is, not who and what we are. When Jesus Christ went to the cross, all the sins of the world were poured out on him and judged. All the sins we committed on this side of the cross as unbelievers, and all the sins we commit on this side of the cross as believers. They were all poured out on Christ and judged. And therefore salvation is by grace through faith in Christ. Rebound is by grace, by acknowledging your sins to God. And why are they both by grace? Because all the sins committed here were judged by Christ. All the sins committed here were judged by Christ on the cross. It's all because of who and what God is, not who and what we are. Salvation is by grace. Rebound is by grace. Rebound is by grace. And I stress that because there are so many pastors today that are 100% out of line. 100%. And they make fun of rebound. They reject rebound. And the sad thing is, not only is their life a waste, but everyone who listens to them, their lives are a waste as well. There's only one way to get back into fellowship with God, and that is by grace. Because of what Christ did on the cross. All sins you commit as an unbeliever, sins that you commit as a believer, were all paid for by Christ once and for all. It's all the grace of God. So you're not saved by your works. You don't get back into fellowship by penance, doing a lot of good works as a Christian and try to get back in fellowship with God. No way. Penance? You want to do penance? Well, I'll make up a list for you. You can just work your little patootie right off. But you're not going to get back into fellowship with God. But hell, if you want to, you know, these people get a guilt complex. They want to work. Okay, well, hey, I got a better idea. You need to give. That is not how you get back in fellowship with God. And I'm not going to set up a booth where I'm on one side and you're on the other side. You confess your sins to me. Don't confess your sins to me. I don't even want to know your sins. I don't want to know anything about your sins. You acknowledge your sins to God, not to me. Kind of like a fellow Catholic priest is in one side and there's a guy, a drunk, over there on the other side. Came in and sat down. Thought he didn't know what this was. The priest thought he was coming in for confession. They were in there for a while, and pretty soon the drunk says to the priest, You got any toilet paper on your side? Don't come to me. I don't want to hear about your sins. I don't want to know your sins. You go to God. Rebound is by grace because of who and what God is, because of who and what Christ is, what He did for us on the cross. 5. In our verse, charis means to be grateful to someone, and therefore it includes the ideas of gratitude and thanksgiving. In our verse, charis means to be grateful to someone, and therefore it includes the ideas of gratitude and thanksgiving. 6. It's mostly used of gratitude to God, gratitude to Jesus Christ. We have the dative singular of theos, to God. 7. God is the author of Operation Grace, the cross, where the Lord Jesus Christ solved mankind's problem of sin, all of our sins. The whole world sins. Every sin committed by mankind from Adam to the end of human history. And God the Father is the author of Operation Grace, the cross, where the Lord Jesus Christ solved the world problem of sin. 8. All of our sins, past, present, and future, were poured out on Christ and judged once and for all. Those sins committed as an unbeliever, and that's the basis of salvation by faith. Those sins committed as a believer, that's the basis of rebound by grace, acknowledging your sins to God. 9. Therefore, salvation is by faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. Salvation is by grace. Therefore, salvation is by faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. Salvation is by grace. 10. Therefore, recovery of fellowship with God is by grace. 1 John 1:9. Recovery of fellowship to God is by grace. Rebound. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 11. Christ's work on the cross not only makes salvation by grace possible, but it also makes spiritual recovery, rebound by grace, possible. Christ's work on the cross not only makes salvation by grace possible, but it also makes spiritual recovery, rebound by grace, possible. Well, when you acknowledge your sins to God the Father, God forgets it. So you forget it. When you acknowledge your sins to God the Father, God forgets it. So you forget it. You forget it and get up and move on in your spiritual life. Don't look back. Now, I've always been, I was a track and field man. I love track. And one of the first things we were taught, never look back. Never look back. And when you run the hurdles, you better run your own race. You can't have your eyes paying attention to who's on the left of you, who's on the right of you, what they're doing. You have to run your own race. And that's it in the spiritual life. You live your life as unto the Lord. You run your own race. You keep your eyes on the objective, spiritual maturity. Don't worry about what other people are doing or what other people think. It doesn't matter what other people think about you. If you live your life based on what other people think about you, you've had it. You live your life based on what God thinks about you, not what people think about you. So when you acknowledge your sins to God the Father, God forgets it. So you forget it. Get up and move on in your spiritual life. So we have here, this is beautiful, after his horrible failure in verses 12 and 13, but thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Grace be to God. Couple more things. One, when you use the problem-solving device of rebound, acknowledge your sins to God the Father, there is no reason for you to walk around with a guilt complex. When you use the problem-solving device of rebound, acknowledge your sins to God the Father, there is no reason for you to walk around with a guilt complex. Now, there will always be self-righteous, legalistic people who will try to give you a guilt complex. They have no grace orientation. They have no virtue love. They have no impersonal love for all. And therefore, they Do not forgive and forget. But point two, somewhere along the line, you have to stop worrying about what people think about you. Somewhere along the line, you have to stop worrying about what people think about you. Three, the issue is not what people think about you, it is what God thinks about you. The issue is not what people think about you, it is what God thinks about you. Four, when you rebound, God thinks grace. And that means God forgives and forgets. That's how God thinks toward you. When you rebound, God thinks grace toward you. God forgives and forgets. Five, it isn't what people think. It is what the Word of God says that counts. It isn't what people think. It's what the Word of God says that counts. Philippians 3:13, forgetting what lies behind. Hey, there's a lot that's behind. Forgetting what lies behind. All the failures. And we all have a lot behind. Forget about what's in the closet. There's a lot of skeletons in the closet. Forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. Rebound, get up, and keep your eyes on the objective. Keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. And grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. But thanks be to God, who always causes us to triumph in Christ. Oh, this is powerful. And as the Apostle Paul is writing this, he is thinking about Rome and the greatest military in the world, the Roman military, and the triumphal procession. They conquered the world. They conquered the world, the Roman Empire. And after they defeated their enemies, a lot of those died on the battlefield. But those who survived were taken captives and brought back to Rome. When they were brought back to Rome, there was a tremendous victory celebration. A victory celebration. The commanding general would be riding a white horse. The white horse represented victory. The Roman army would march right behind, and then behind them the captives would come along as well. And it was a huge parade. Thousands and thousands were there on each side. And all of that is brought out now in the rest of this verse. Who always causes us to triumph in Christ. Except Paul brings that over into an eternal triumph. An eternal victory. For anyone, any place, anywhere who believes in Jesus Christ, an eternal triumph in Jesus Christ. who always causes us to triumph in Christ. This is the articular present active participle of three ambelo, plus the adverb pantota, plus the accusative plural of the personal pronoun ego, plus the prepositional phrase en, plus the dative singular of Christos with the definite article. The verb triambelo, great, great word. T-H-R-I-A-M-B-E-U, long O. Triambelo. All right, first of all, triambelo means to lead in a triumphal procession. To lead in a triumphal procession. Two, this word comes right out of, it's a military, technical term, used of the Roman military, and it was used for a Roman triumphal procession after a great victory. And the Apostle Paul, under the ministry of God the Holy Spirit, chose this word to illustrate a spiritual victory that is far, far, far greater than any military victory. Three, this was a great victory parade that was given to the conquering general. In which enemy prisoners were forced to march behind the victorious army. This was a great victory parade given to the conquering general, in which enemy prisoners were forced to march behind the victorious army. The participle is circumstantial causal. God is caused to lead us in this great triumphal procession in Christ. Paul brings this over beautifully and powerfully. God is caused to lead us, the one who believes in Jesus Christ, to lead us in a triumphal procession in Christ. Four, God the Father is the one who leads us in this triumphal procession. Five, through Christ's strategic victory on the cross, the strategic victory of the angelic conflict. This is greater than any military victory. Through Christ's strategic victory on the cross, fulfilling Operation Grace, God the victor had vanquished his enemies. Through Christ's strategic victory on the cross, fulfilling Operation Grace, God, the victor, had vanquished his enemies. And these are the enemies of the angelic conflict. Turn over to Colossians 2. Great passage. Colossians 2, 13 through 15. Colossians 2, 13 through 15. I'm having you turn to this passage because our verb is used here by the Apostle Paul in Colossians 2, 13 through 15, and he's explaining what he also taught in 2 Corinthians 2, 14. Colossians 2:13, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sin nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the ruling demons and the demons in authority, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them. There's our verb, triumbeo. He disarmed the ruling demons and demons in authority and made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. The strategic victory of the cross, triumbeo. 6. For the ones who respond to the gospel and believe in Jesus Christ, there is the victory of eternal salvation. For the ones who respond to the gospel and believe in Jesus Christ, there is the victory of eternal salvation. Seven. At the moment of faith in Christ, we are entered into union with Christ through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and we are more than conquerors in Christ. At the moment of faith in Christ, we are entered into union with Christ through the baptism of the Spirit, and we are more than conquerors in Christ. Yes, Jesus Christ won the strategic victory on the cross, and through simple faith in Him, we are entered into union with Jesus Christ. Turn over to Romans 8, another phenomenal passage. Romans 8. Romans 8, starting in verse 37. Verse 37. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. And where is this? That is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, 8. The key to this great triumphal procession is that we are in union with Jesus Christ, the one who accomplished the great strategic victory of the angelic conflict by His salvation work on the cross. The key to this great triumphal procession is that we are in union with Jesus Christ. We have with this verb an adverb, pantote. P-A-N-T-O-T-E. Pantote. Pantote means always. Always, at all times. And that is very important. It goes with the verb triumbeo. 9. For the ones who believe in Christ, this triumphal procession, this great victory celebration will never end. For the ones who believe in Jesus Christ, this triumphal procession, this great victory celebration will never end. 10. It begins with our faith in Christ and continues on forever and ever in our resurrection bodies. It begins with our faith in Christ and continues on forever and ever in our resurrection bodies. The accusative plural of the personal pronoun ego is us. Who is us? All believers. Everyone who believes in Christ. The prepositional phrase en to Christo is in the Christ. Now that's a technical phrase that speaks of positional sanctification, union with Jesus Christ, positional truth. So the key to our great triumphal procession is that we are in Christ, in union with Jesus Christ. And we will always be in union with Christ. And nothing can ever change that. So, but thanks be to God. Yeah, absolutely. Grace be to God. Thanks be to God who always leads us. Everyone, anyone, any place, anywhere who believes in Jesus Christ. But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, in union with Jesus Christ. And then he adds, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge. This is the conjunction chi, plus the present active participle of phanerao, plus the accusative singular of osme with the definite article, plus the genitive singular of gnosis with the definite article, along with autos. The conjunction chi is connective, correctly translated and. And then phanerao. That's phanero, long O. Phanerao. Couple of things on this verb. First of all, phanerao means to reveal, to make known, to show, to bring to light, to reveal, to make known, to show, to bring to light. 2. God makes known the fragrance of the knowledge of Christ through his servants everywhere, in every place. God makes known the fragrance of the knowledge of Christ through his servants in every place. 3. God's faithful communicators proclaim the fragrant gospel of Christ and the fragrant grace and truth of the Word of God. But this isn't, that's by interpretation. By application, you're all in full-time Christian service. Every one of you, you're all in full-time Christian service. You're a royal priest representing yourself to God. You're a royal ambassador representing Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Every one of you are in full-time Christian service and have the fantastic privilege of witnessing for Christ. And that doesn't mean you go house to house and door to door. No, God, you live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. God will open the door for you everywhere you go. Everywhere you go, He will give you opportunities to fulfill your royal ambassadorship and represent and give the fragrant gospel of Jesus Christ to the unbeliever. Everywhere you go, when you're on vacation, when you're in an airplane, in your neighborhood, where you work. Now, don't do it while you're working. But when you're on break, yeah. When you're on break, great opportunity. Before you go to work, absolutely. Now, after work is over, sure. Now, I don't know. When you have a lunch break or whatever, a lot of times now that's you get a break, an early break, a lunch break, a later break, and you get paid for all that. That's pretty good. Gives you an opportunity to fulfill your royal ambassadorship. We are all in full-time Christian service. We are all to witness for Jesus Christ and represent Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. So, by interpretation, God's faithful communicators proclaim the fragrant gospel of Christ and the fragrant grace and truth of the Word of God. By application, it applies to all of you as royal family of God, as royal ambassadors for Jesus Christ. For the "-o" ending is causative. God is caused to make known the fragrance of victory in Christ. The present tense is the customary present, which makes a statement of general timeless fact. The active voice, God the Father, performs the action of causing to make known the fragrance of victory in Christ. And the participle is circumstantial attendant circumstance, having the same force as triambeo. And then osme. O-S-M long E. Osme. Osme means fragrance. This fragrance refers specifically to the fragrance of the knowledge of Christ. The fragrance of the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a wonderful, magnificent fragrance. The fragrance that presents the Savior of the world so that you can have an eternal relationship with the living and true God. It is a phenomenal fragrance. And you have the privilege as royal ambassadors of presenting the fragrance of the good news of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. The fragrance also refers to the mind of Christ, Bible doctrine. This fragrance is spread throughout the world, not only by God's faithful communicators, but by the entire royal family of God. And then we have gnosis. G-N long O-S-I-S. Gnosis. Gnosis literally means knowledge. And this refers here to the absolute truth of the Word of God, Bible doctrine. And specifically, the objective genitive autos, Him, Jesus Christ. So this is the fragrant knowledge of Him, Jesus Christ. corrected translation, but thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, in union with Christ, and who makes known the fragrance of the knowledge of Him, Jesus Christ. And then, by us in every place. This is the prepositional phrase dia plus the genitive plural of the personal pronoun ego plus the prepositional phrase and plus the dative singular topos modified by the adjective pos. Now for you faithful, you got this down. Dia plus the genitive by means of. Dia plus the accusative because of, on account of. Always that way. This is dia plus the genitive by means of, or by the agency of if it's a person. The plural of the personal pronoun ego in our, by interpretation, Paul, Silas, Timothy, Titus, these all make up the communicators. By application, every one of you is royal family of God, royal ambassadors for Jesus Christ. And then topos. Oops. T-O-P-O-S. So get it out of your mind that the only people that God uses to present this fragrant knowledge of Christ is the pastor. That they're the only ones that can do this, or the evangelist. If that's your thinking, why, you will fail miserably. You're all in full-time Christian service. Every one of you. You are all royal ambassadors for Jesus Christ. You all have this fragrant knowledge of Jesus Christ and the fragrant knowledge of the gospel of Christ to communicate to the unbeliever. And then we have topos. Oh, I just got it there. Topos means place, region, but it's modified by the adjective pas, P-A-S, which is every, or all places, every place. And then the preposition en, which is in every place, everywhere. At the time that Paul wrote, all throughout the Roman Empire. Today, everywhere on planet Earth. In every place, everywhere, all throughout the world. Corrected translation. But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, in union with Christ, and who makes known the fragrance of the knowledge of Him, the fragrance of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the agency of us, by interpretation, God's faithful communicators, but by application, all of you in full-time Christian service, in every place, everywhere. All right. Well, this is looking at, Paul has got in mind, his mind, a Roman triumphal procession. So I'll give you a little bit of information about that Roman triumphal procession. One, the triumphal procession would begin with the victorious general entering the parade route through a specially constructed arch, and he would be riding a white horse. So the triumphal procession would begin with the victorious general entering the parade route through a specially constructed arch, riding a white horse. Two, the white horse was the sign of victory. Three, there was a great parade through the streets of Rome. Thousands and thousands of people were there, cheering. Four, the general would be followed by the victorious army. The general would be followed by the victorious army. Five, behind the victorious army would come captives taken in battle. Captives taken in battle. This is Colossians 2:13-15, representing that. The ruling demons, demons in authority, captured, disarmed. Six, throngs of people would line the parade route, cheering, throwing flowers, and osme, fragrance, perfume, on both the victorious army and the vanquished captives. And you need this, all this information is by way of introduction to verse 15. Because the next verse in verse 15 will sound like this. Because we keep on being a wonderful fragrance of Christ for God among the ones who are being saved and among the ones who are perishing. So this is getting you by way of introduction for verse 15. So throngs of people would line the parade route, cheering and throwing flowers and perfume, fragrance, osme on both the victorious army and the vanquished captive. Seven, every parade ended at the Mamertine dungeon. Every parade ended at the Mamertine dungeon. Eight, at the Mamertine dungeon, the soldiers would fall out, and each one would take a captive and execute him. Nine, the perfume and flowers sprinkled on the soldiers was the sweet smell of victory. The perfume and flowers sprinkled on the soldiers was the sweet smell of victory. Ten, the perfume and flowers sprinkled on the captives was the smell of death. Eleven, for them, the fragrance meant they were about to die. But this is exactly where every member of the human race is. Every member of the human race, for those who come to the cross and place their faith in Jesus Christ, it is the fragrant smell of victory, eternal salvation. We are more than conquerors in union with Christ. For those who hear the gospel and reject it, it is the fragrance of death, and they will spend eternity under condemnation and judgment in the lake of fire. Absolute. Everybody wants to believe that there's a heaven. Nobody wants to believe there's a lake of fire. There is a heaven, there is a hell. And it all depends on your attitude toward the fragrance of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. God will love to have everyone believe in Christ. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Unlimited atonement, the sins of the whole world were paid for by Christ. Every person that's ever lived, their sins were paid for by Christ. And God holds the gift out to everyone. But there will be millions and millions and millions that slap the gift out of the hand of Jesus Christ. And they will have the fragrance of death, eternal condemnation and judgment in the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. For the ones who believe in Christ, the fragrance of victory in union with Christ forever and ever and ever. This is an amazing passage, but it depends on you understanding the military terms that are used here. And Paul going through this, and it's a fantastic passage that not only deals with the communication of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but the communication of the grace and truth of God's word. All right? Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.